I'm Helen Marshall, and this is the Diary of a CLO. I hope no one's listening, but if you are, definitely share it.
In this episode, I'm joined by Jenny Mulwa, a learning and development guru, but also the creator of the world's first open program for women to understand how they can lean into their strengths and show up effectively depending on what stage of their hormone cycle they're in. Being able to communicate effectively about what will work best for you and planning your work life around your hormonal cycle is still a surprisingly novel conversation in today's workplace. Listen in to hear us chat about how Jenny is changing this and gain insight into how she's on a mission to empower all women at work. Enjoy. Jenny, hi, and welcome to Diary of a CLO. How are you doing?
It's great to be here. Thanks, Helen. I'm doing well.
Good stuff. Well, I'm really looking forward to our conversation today because we're talking about something that doesn't really get a lot of airtime at work, and I suppose has historically been something that has been spoken about in a bit of a derogatory fashion, potentially, and particularly within those work environments, and that's hormones and periods specifically. So can you tell me a little bit about how you've ended up in this space and how it's something that you're concentrating on and talking more about?
Absolutely. And exactly like you say, in terms of it is something that isn't normalized yet in the workplace. And I think that's why we sort of shy away from it. But actually, like we'll discover on our conversation today, the energy and power that actually lies behind these cycles that we have and how we can harness them. So yeah, kind of sort of where did I come from in my thinking of this and where have I got to today? I've been working in learning and development for years and years and years. And of course, with that, it's all around a mind and body link. I've always been really interested in what we can create and the differences that we can create in our work environment and the changes that we can have within ourselves with the right environment, health and mindset. But then also, as I was starting to look at more leadership models, and I really believe that leadership starts with self-awareness, what were the leadership models telling us? And I started to recognize that they were quite linear in their approach. So fast forward a little bit more, and I started to research more into neuroscience and psychology, and I was looking at, okay, where can we create better learning moments? So that might be in an event. Where can we create dopamine hits to allow for more memorable learning experiences? Where can we create change in behavior within coaching conversations? And I was like, there's something in here though, that when I was talking to more women, they was like, sometimes I feel really on it and I can do these things. And then I just, you know, and then I'm sort of drawing back a little bit. And helping these women through, I started to realize that what they were saying, I was reflecting within myself as well, thinking I have these same experiences, but I can't find the model that it fits this that we're talking about. So I started to do some further research, fast forward a little bit more, and I hit perimenopause, and suddenly my body was like, hey, you are now going to sit up and listen, because these hormones are going to manifest into all sorts of things that you've not experienced to the extent that you've experienced them. It's like some kind of extreme sport, and you know, strap in for the ride. So that's really kind of this culmination of lots of different events where I started to research more into these different areas. I started to really look at, okay, so there are hormones that are, we're going to talk very generally today, but hormones that are produced within the ovaries of estrogen and progesterone. And these hormones can create great energy, and they actually can create great differences in our lives if we lean into the energy that they give us. And yet, we sort of have it as a taboo and a shame, and we sort of want to move away from any of the conversations that allow for that to be opened up. And the more I looked into this in the sport field and in the psychology field and in the science field, I started to realize how much power there was behind these two hormones that we have and how they can create better changes in communities, innovation and products.
Because you're right. Actually, thinking about the sports field specifically, things like nutrition and fitness, we often do track against our hormone cycle for understanding what's going to be best at a certain time or how I'm going to show up for a run, for example. And that sort of stuff is becoming more commonplace now. But actually, that's just not tracked over into how I'm turning up at the office.
At work, exactly. I mean, there are athletes now, you know, for an athlete to be sort of 1% better, that 1% better is the difference between a gold and a silver medal. So everything from how to train to the clothes that you're going to wear to the hormones that you have in terms of also how you're going to train for that. So there are athletes that are tracking those hormones daily to tweak how they are training on that day for maximum effect. Imagine if we were to reflect within ourselves of what is it that's going on in my body today and how can I show up with my best self in the work that I'm doing today? And that's exactly what I want to bring to more women.
I mean, it sounds fabulous. Is there a methodology behind this? Is it a coaching conversation to start with? I know you've mentioned that kind of one-on-one conversation and the picking up of patterns. Is that where you would start with people to have that level of reflection almost?
Yeah, it's been through different things so far. So I've been invited to talk on panels, for example, and it's very much raising awareness. And I think that's the first step, is there's a raising of awareness and education, breaking some taboos and normalizing a conversation around periods as well is incredibly helpful, because that then opens up the conversation. From there, it might be then education in terms of training, but also coaching conversations to make it more personalized, of course, is then incredibly helpful, because people are able to see, okay, here's where I experience this the most, and this is the effect, and here's where I experience something else the most, and this is the effect that it can have. And very just generally speaking, you know, very simply speaking, with these two hormones, I think of it like a plane taking off and landing to reach, you know, some beautiful destination. So as the plane is kind of going along the runway and taking off, this is when we see a rise in estrogen. When we're kind of up in the air, I think of that as ovulation. And then we kind of then are coming down to land, and that estrogen will lower down and progesterone will start to come into play. And these two hormones have got great things behind it. And there are great powers that we can harness by really leaning into those energies.
So in that first phase of kind of takeoff, as you're describing it there, that I'm presuming there is that level of energy, enthusiasm, excitement, kind of very like positive, energetic words that I'm using and can feel in that first phase. And then it's almost a different level of energy as you're coming into land and things are calmer, but potentially more tense as well. How would you describe that change in energy?
I love that. Yeah, definitely. Kind of like that takeoff is that energy. I mean, I love like taking off on an aeroplane because it's like it's full of excitement and possibilities and off we go. And exactly that. So estrogen is responsible for helping us to feel good about ourselves. So the part of the brain that gets activated, so MRI sort of research has seen that when estrogen is rising in females, that there is more activity in the brain in the hippocampus. And this is the part of the brain that is responsible for memory, verbal reasoning. So it's really good to have conversations at this time, but also you feel more confident, because also what has happened physically during this time, there'll be bigger volume in your hair, your skin starts to glow a little bit more. So this is a time where you might go into a meeting and it doesn't work out the way you planned, and you come off and you shrug it off and you go, oh, well, never mind. This is what I've learned. I can just have so much confidence around you because that hormone is helping you with that. But also in terms of verbal reasoning. So someone asks you a question, you're very quick to respond with that because of that going on, problem solving, brainstorming, great time for all of this kind of stuff. This rise of this energy, if you were to think about it in terms of, okay, so what could I be doing to be my best self during this time? This is a great time to be planning in for presentations. This is a great time if you've got an idea for something. This is a great time to be talking to others and networking with others and thinking about how can I get my idea out there and socialize. Brilliant time for all of that. Hey, if you're interview, if the interviewer gives you some dates to choose from, this follicular phase, this rise of estrogen, a great time to be doing it because you're going to feel more confident and you're going to, your brain is going to be firing a little bit more on that. And then we get to the top, and that's ovulation. And at ovulation, you are actually sending out pheromones. So of course, this is to attract a mate, right? So it's kind of like you're at your most magnetic self. Well, that is a wonderful time. Think your magnetic self. That's a wonderful time. Again, like people will be drawn to things that you're saying and drawn to your ideas, because that is where you are at your best self during that time. And then we're coming into land. So this is the luteal phase. And this is then when estrogen will start to go down and progesterone will start to come up. And many women are like, oh, why has it gone away? I felt so good. I really liked that one. I didn't need as much sleep. I felt like I could eat really healthy. I could, you know, like you're saying, in terms of fitness, I could run really quickly and like, where did it go, my friend? But actually progesterone is like super important and brings an energy that really can help with us. So my belief, just before I talk about the power of progesterone, my belief is that our hormone cycle isn't just about creating new life in terms of the human form. It's creating new life for new communities, new products, new innovation. And I think if we're able to think of that cycle of creating new life that isn't necessarily new humans, then what can we achieve with that? So this then, progesterone, let's lean into that energy. So like you say, that energy is calmer. And actually research has shown that there are more alpha waves in our brain during this time. And more alpha wave activity, we have this when we meditate, we have this when we listen to soothing music. So this is a time that our brain relaxes a little bit more. This is the perfect time for creative processing. So I'm not talking brainstorming. I'm not talking, you know, getting the sticky notes out on the wall and talking through your ideas. I'm talking about quiet, creative processing. This is a time when you might be doing some research and you can suddenly join the dots very easily between different things. This is a time that is perfect if you have been socializing your ideas and now you have to do something with it. This is the great time to do something with it. Create the program, design the initiative, write the report. This is a wonderful time to be doing this. Many coaching clients that I have say, oh, I feel really overwhelmed and I'm just trying to focus. This is a wonderful time to find that focus. The follicular phase, it's really difficult to find the focus because your brain's like, bah, bah, let's get out there. Let's like talk about our stuff. Let's talk, talk, talk. And this, a wonderful time because your brain is saying, it's telling you, okay, now's the time to put stuff into action. Let's focus and find that flow to do that. A wonderful energy to lean into.
There's some really great practical examples there of how you can, like you say, lean into the energy at different stages of your cycle. And I think it would be really useful for listeners to be able to go away and apply some of that. I think the other side of it and where my brain immediately goes is, well, you can't plan everything in that much detail to say, well, yes, if someone says, oh, do you want to record a podcast? Let's do it on a certain date or a certain time to maximize that kind of social energy. But actually, if there's an industry conference coming up, for example, you can't change the dates of an industry conference. So how do you lean into knowing how you're going to show up based on where you are in your cycle?
Yeah, definitely. So I also get feedback in terms of, but it's not in the real world. A little bit kind of like standing on my soapbox is, first of all, the real world isn't really working properly for you right now. So you might as well just have a little try at what things you can tweak. And actually, when people do start to make tweaks, not massive changes, but tweaks, they go, oh my goodness, I didn't realize actually how much I did have in my control. But you're absolutely right. An industry event is an event, and a date that is set is a date that is set. So if you were looking at it and you're starting to track your cycle, and there's wonderful apps, Flow, Clue, these are great apps. You can even just do it in your diary very simply, starting to track those. And if you don't, if you also actually, your cycle isn't very regular, actually just starting to tune into how am I feeling today can just help you. So let's take that example of an industry event. If you're in the follicular phase, you could also go like the day before, go for the social mixer. You could be up in the morning going for a run and feeling really good about life. Yeah, I'll meet you for breakfast. Let's meet for breakfast. Let's have a chat and then we'll go to the industry event. Da, da, da. I'm feeling really good. If you're in the luteal phase, don't commit to those things. I might be there at the social mixer. And if you need to conserve your energy so that you're ready for the following day, then that's what you need to do. If actually you need to take breakfast in your room that morning and you need to do some yoga practice or some breath work, like that's going to be much more beneficial for you rather than go, 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 go. Because actually, it's not saying that you can't do this. Absolutely, your brain is amazing. It's going to fire off in other ways to compensate. It's just going to take more energy to do that.
Really valuable perspective there. And I think you've honed in on again what you spoke about right at the beginning in terms of that self-awareness of understanding what's making you tick at that time and understanding what's driving you as well. I think self-awareness in general outside of hormones and periods is something that we hear spoken about a lot, that leaders particularly can do with developing. So are there any kind of tips that you would share around self-awareness in general?
Definitely. So I think that's the first step, is even to just particularly if we're even just thinking about this, right? We're so, and I, again, I'm speaking generally, we're so as women want to hide our periods. I mean, I remember growing up and the Tampax advert was a woman skating around in white leggings. And it was like, look how great I am at hiding my period. I can wear white leggings. You know, that's kind of, that's how we've seen things. You know, the word hysteria comes from the Greek hystera, which is around the womb. And they had this belief that the womb was going around causing all sorts of havoc. So we're like, we don't want to be seen as hysterical. We don't want to be seen as emotional. We don't want to be seen as having these periods. We don't want to be seen as any of that. So we hide it, hide it, hide it. Well, the more we hide it, the less self-aware we become. Whereas if we don't, if we first of all start to normalize things, but then that self-awareness of saying, okay, the first 5 minutes of the day, I'm just going to sit and I'm going to think, what is it that I need today? And that can set you up then for the rest of the day. It might be in a meeting. So let's say, again, when progesterone is also, you can get more emotions with that hormone as well. Again, when we're thinking about self-awareness, it might be then be in a meeting. Maybe you come at the end of the meeting and you feel really emotional at the end of the meeting. Maybe you cry after you've switched off the call or you've left the meeting. Or maybe you're a bit shorter with people in the meeting. And that's a great time to also reflect and think, what was happening in there? And that might happen more during that luteal phase. But that's really powerful because for every behavior, there's an emotion. And for every emotion, there's a need. And if you're able to put a label on those, if you're able to speak to that need, so in that meeting, I got frustrated because I got talked over. So I got talked over and I was short and I maybe raised my voice and that maybe wasn't the best thing to do. The emotion behind that was frustration. The frustration around that was that my idea wasn't heard over other people. That was a need. The need is for my voice to be heard. And when I then go into my follicular phase, that's going to be a great time to address that. You know, I'm going to feel more self-confident. I'm going to have better verbal reasoning. So that's a great time to address it. But I'm going to understand the emotion and the need that I have within that during that time. So that's what I say in terms of the self-awareness, actually the reflective practice, the questioning, but then doing something with that for good.
Yeah. And also knowing again, at what stage would be appropriate in order to action that reflection that you've carried out, or even that kind of almost like personal level of feedback and say, right, well, I can go and I know that I'm going to be able to action this next week in this particular meeting because I'll be on my best, hopefully on my best form at that point. Just taking a step back in terms of something that you mentioned about periods often being associated with new life and that kind of new being, but you're switching that focus to the creation of something new, whatever that new is, that you mentioned kind of products, ideas, services potentially. And I really think there's something quite nice in there around actually you can use that energy to birth new life into something else outside of a human life. That's a really kind of really, really positive message, I think, in terms of thinking about how those hormones show up and feed into what you're doing in your daily role.
I mean, I can tell you, you know, just personally, as I've started to do this more, and like I say, that's where I can talk from personal experience. I was like, I was just saying, I can't be putting this in, you know, that this is crazy. I can't be swapping a one-to-one. Yes, I can. I can ask for a one-to-one to be done at a different time. And actually, it caused no problems at all. I can also take more time for reflective practices and research within my working month. And the effects of this was with one client that I was working with, I created an initiative where they came and they're like, we never would have thought of that. How did you do that? And I was honest and I just said, I was listening to my body, I worked with my hormones and I was really energetic to be working on this thing. And that's how I came up with it. And I can tell you now that wouldn't have happened 6 years ago because I was just working against my body all the time. And I've become more creative, I've become more productive, and I believe I've become a better leader of others as well.
That's really interesting, isn't it? That kind of, you've been on that personal journey and been able to share the and see the outcomes of investing in yourself. And I think it'd be interesting to see that on a wider scale across organisations and see what the impact ultimately could be on things like productivity, on innovation and creativity, on collaboration, all that kind of good stuff that you're saying is there's the potential here to impact that. And ultimately that leads into the business bottom line. So it's almost like empowering women to realize their full potential within the workplace.
Totally. I mean, I'm like on a mission, right? I'm just like, I've seen the power behind this. I've seen the power when I've worked with other women. I've worked with other women that then are, you know, at board level that are more kind of now in perimenopause and menopause. And they go, oh, Jenny, I wish I'd like learned this 20 years ago. Like the amount of impact and power that I could have had if I'd learned this stuff at the beginning of my career would have been so impactful for me as an individual. And like you say, for the organisations that I'm working in. There's something for women to understand this more as individuals, and there are tools and there are techniques that I'm teaching around this. But then there's also, if you're a man and you work with women, or you have friends and sisters and family who are women, this is also for you. Because as a man understanding that, so I've also done talks with men, and you know what? It's been so well received in terms of just energies. You know, I can very easily say I'm either a night owl or an early bird, and we just go, oh, okay, I totally understand what that is, and that's absolutely fine, and we both have an understanding of that. No problem. We're only talking about energies. If I was to say, I feel more energized in spring, and you said to me, I feel more energized in the autumn, we'd have no issues with that. We'd have a mutual understanding of that. It's the same thing. I have more of an outward energy. I'm now feeling more of an inward energy. Okay, well, we have a shared understanding and we can talk about that. And there are two really key questions that any manager can ask. And that's, how can I help you to be at your best? And what support do you need from me? And that might just be, hey, in our one-to-one this week, how can I help you to be at your best this week? Do you know what? I've got more outward energy. So how you could really help me is that if there's any meetings where I get the opportunity to present this thing that I'm working on, this would be a really great week to be able to do that, if you're able to make that happen. Or, hey, yeah, this week, actually, I'm in more of the inward energy. So I'd like to spend more time being able to focus. Is that going to be okay? I'll probably be less vocal this week. Is that going to be okay? Yeah, no problem. So there's things that you can just do as any manager within this as well.
You've just reminded me of a couple of instances where when I was managing people, I had similar conversations about energy levels, focus time, wanting to present. And I'm wondering now if it was their way of leaning into exactly what you're saying and knowing that they would be able to show up as their best self because of where they were on their hormone cycle. And that's really interesting to, I wouldn't have ever kind of put two and two together until you just said that. So it's that kind of self-awareness, but that great tips for managers as well to understand how they can support just by asking simple questions. And I think it's really important, like you say, for men to feed into this conversation as well and be present and be aware of those energy cycles again, and softening the language, I suppose, around periods and focusing there on energy and balance and how you show up at a particular time. And there is a communal understanding of that terminology as well. So that, you know, it makes the conversation a little bit easier, doesn't it?
For sure. That's the whole thing. If we're able to talk about energy, then we're fine with that. That's a language that we're okay about. And like you say, this ultimately, it comes down to the bottom line. And the bottom line is there are more women in the workforce, and there are more women who can create more money for your business, more innovations, better products, leaders of people, leaders of communities. So why would you not? Why would you not use everything in your power to create more energy for those people?
It's a very good question. I know you've spoken a couple of times through the conversation about research. It sounds like there isn't a lot of research to lean on in this field. Is that an accurate assumption?
Absolutely. I mean, generally, you know, again, this is very generally speaking, there isn't an awful lot of research into women's health. It's starting, but that's the same also in terms of psychology and neuroscience as well. That, again, it's all, those are also new fields as well. And it's just starting in to build more areas of research. But this, no. So I did a postgraduate in behavioral change, and I was asking this exact question, like, where are the papers to research this stuff? And the answer that came back was, there isn't, Jenny. Do you want to start creating some papers? So this is where I say, like, the research has come from sport, the research has come from nutrition, the research has come from different areas of science that are starting to look at, okay, what are the behavioral patterns in our minds? And I've made then those links in terms of then, okay, so how is that manifesting in workplaces and in leadership?
Ultimately then, where are you hoping? So I know your mission is to kind of change the way women are perceived in the workplace, or being able to talk about those energy levels. What do you hope to be enabling organizations to do, like, in 5 years time? Where, what's your bigger goal?
The bigger goal would, I think, first of all, what's so important is language. So the constructs that we create is the reality that we live in. So if we can create more awareness and normalize this as something that happens, and like I say, I'm speaking generally because women do have different cycles and different experiences of those, but let's talk very generally speaking, we start to normalize and we start to allow those conversations to happen to build more self-awareness. I would love to see that. And I'm on a mission to create that within the influence that I have. From there, I would love to see more women starting to develop themselves in terms of the tools and the techniques that they have. And this then becomes a shared common language in the workplace, just as any other kind of leadership terminology might be. It might be that, you know, when you're talking about feedback, you talk about radical candor. And when you talk about productivity, you're talking about hormone cycles. That would be like just amazing.
So watch this space. We'll see whether that happens or not.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I'd love to see that and to get to a place where that is kind of a common language, like you say, across various organisations across the world. It would be amazing because it's certainly something that's missing. And even now, as I head towards my late 30s, it's only something I'm just starting to be conscious of at work. So I'm wondering if there's a whole new generation that's going to be coming into the workforce who might be more aware and wanting to talk about things like this, and that conversation might get a little bit easier. Have you seen any kind of sight of that happening?
Yeah, do you know, I'm really encouraged. I'm really encouraged by more people being more open about lots of different things. I'm encouraged that Spain now allow time off for periods. That's normalizing. I'm encouraged that there is more menopause support. Let's take it down to the bottom line. There are more women now, you know, in the 70s, I think it was 17% of women were in the workforce were menopausal, of menopausal age. That's now risen to almost 70%. So there's an economic reason for all of these opening up of conversations, not just social reasons. But I do think people are being more open, which is incredible. I think that there is a change coming as people start to be more comfortable within themselves as an individual, and an individual coming and making a difference in an organisation as well.
Brilliant. Thanks, Jenny. Well, I suppose on a practical level, Jenny, how are you planning on making an impact?
There are organisations already who are asking me to come and do talks around this for everybody, for all genders, and then also more specific workshops for practical tools and techniques for women. But I'm wanting to take this further, so I've now created an open program. And this open program is a one-day workshop where women in particular can really come and understand each of the different phases, what is happening within those, what tools they could use to really help them within those, and techniques to be taking away. And then a team coaching session a few weeks later to be then reflecting on, okay, so how is this working and how is this coming and showing up in my life, but also being able to do that with other women and get some further insights and experiences to also accelerate to move forward with.
And are you planning on doing that within the parameters of specific organisations, or are you bringing multiple women from across various different businesses together in one place?
Absolutely. So both of them. So some people are coming and approaching me and going into organisations and doing something bespoke for them. But this programme that I've now started to create is, I've had that many women that have said, oh, I wish I'd known this. Do you have a programme for this? You know, I really want to attend this. That I've thought, right, this is now the time. So the programme is open for any women across all sorts of organisations to be able to join and learn from the techniques and learn from each other.
Amazing. Last question that I like to ask guests is, what advice have you been given in the past that you continue to share with people now that, you know, you work with or you have connections with?
The advice that I was once given was, everyone eats breakfast. That sounds like, but I think the thing behind this was, don't have an authority bias. Don't like think, oh, they're so experienced, or I couldn't possibly speak to that person, or I couldn't possibly network in that person. They're so like far above me, because everyone eats breakfast. And that really normalized that actually I come with different lived experiences and I come with different ideas, and actually I could speak to anybody about that.
I love that advice, just everyone eats breakfast. I'm definitely gonna start using that. Thanks, Jenny. I've really appreciated you sharing your insights on this episode, and I think there's a lot of tangible things that people can take away into their own work. So thank you once again for joining.
Thanks, Helen.
This podcast is powered by Thrive. We're a complete learning and skills platform creating modern learning solutions for modern businesses globally. Check us out.